Yeah, so this is from my note. So those of you who you can just get from the blog, the Karma Abiding Meditation Guide. So you can go detail on that. I will just touch, just say the 8 antidotes and 5 faults, and the rest, you know, the process of a 9 step of a meditation, you can just read through that, it will be all right. So so 5 faults are, first one is laziness, second one is forgetting the object, third one is laxity and excitement, fourth one is non-application, fifth one is over-application. So the antidote for that, there are 8 antidotes, and for the first negation, the laziness, there are four virtuous, attitude. Or this can be the antidote for laziness. So, first one is faith. Second is aspiration. Then third is perseverance. Then pliancy. So in order to overcome the laziness, if you want, in order to achieve the karma biting, then one should develop faith to the practice, faith to the result of the practice, faith and conviction result of the practice. Then also have some degree of, faith and conviction to the teaching, the technique that is spoken by the Buddha and the pandits and yogis, Mahasiddhas and yogis and the teachers. So without that, then without firm conviction and faith, when the obstacle of laziness occur, then when we won't be able to complete the practice. Laziness can be appear in a sense of like completely giving up, not doing anything, or laziness also can occur in the manner of just busyness, just coating up your mind and your actions, your time, other than the cultivating the Dharma or cultivating the in this relation to this practice, then staying away from the engaging in the practice of concentration training. So other than that, whatever you do, everything become excuses, and those excuses are in the form of laziness. So when you have faith and conviction in the practice and benefit of the result of the practice, and also the faith and conviction to the instructor or the teacher who have taught these techniques, like Buddha and your teacher, when you have a single-pointed kind of trust, full conviction in their words, then you will follow totally, because it has ultimate benefit. It is a great benefit for that. Then aspiration here is aspirational prayer, that you have to keep making aspiration to. If you are not engaged into this practice yet, then make aspiration to engage in this practice through knowing the benefit, the advantage of this practice. If you are already in the practice, then every post meditation from this concentration, one should make prayers and aspiration in relation to calling the name of the Buddhas, those who spoke these teachings, and the aspiration to express the aspiration either through reading, some of the stories, who have benefited through these teachings, such as I give example of Lama Zopa, Lama Khonjo, etc. And such similar story as all the past great Indian pandits, past great Tibetan masters, and most of all the Shakyamuni Buddha himself, you know, remain in Shamatha, actualize Shamatha, get into a retreat, you know, all this benefit, you know, now he's Buddha and benefiting numberless sentient beings. So then inspire yourself and get inspired, then wish to become just like them, you know, through any means, you know, try to get into that. So then that way, you will stay focused in the continuation of practice. Then perseverance, and again, seeing the disadvantage of not practicing it, seeing the advantage of practicing it, then overcoming, you know, challenges, physical discomfort, mental, you know, agitations or whatever it comes, then never giving up, you know, never giving up, knowing, you know, the benefit. So therefore, again, during the pause meditations, you know, rather than reading any sort of teachings, but something that which can inspire you to really to, you know, overcome the challenges and to get focused, you know, stay focused on the practices. So the shamatha training, you know, the need to sacrifice a lot of things, a lot of like comfort, comfort for the all the five senses, you see. So and without perseverance, is no way one able to do that. And fluency, then acknowledge, you know, after getting into even a 5 minute of concentration practice, then you know, since already prepare all the conducive conditions, now you're already engaged in practice, and naturally you will experience, you know, amount of fluency, not maybe even can be just short time, or maybe very 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 little, small one, but you start to experience it. And there's not necessary, has to be sequence, you know, to experiencement of the physical fluency and mental fluency. Indirectly, physical fluency is the one, mental fluency is the one affecting to cause physical fluency. But then in a grosser level, physical fluency is the one that causing mental fluency. So meaning that, you know, your body start to feel very light, you know, very relaxed, you know, sense of like floating like that, sense of uplifted like that. Then that affects your mind to be so happy, you know, so peacefulness, you know, total free from disturbances like that. Then that mental fluency again affect the mind, affect the body to be even more, you know, the entire physical energy is energized into such a positive energy like that. And this has to be, need to allow to experience it. Allow to experience it, acknowledge it, and have an admiration into it. You know, it's how wonderful to experience that. You know, yes, I like it. You know, like that. You know, so this will help to prevent laziness. This become antidote to laziness, because at least, oh, you know, yes, now it's a bit hard, a bit difficult. You know, but at the end result actually is so nice. You know, so I why not give up discomfort or give up the comfort for at least for maybe 1 hour, but after that the experience is amazing, so why not, you know, so like that kind of thing. So faith, aspiration, perseverance, fluency is the antidote to the laziness. Then forgiving the object, forgetting the object, so the antidote is the recollection. So one need to be very clear of the object, and we could help ourselves with this by reminding oneself of the object at least six times, or three times in the morning and three times in the night. So this is just example only. You know, this is also, you know, you have to keep bring yourself in the like kind of like If you are unable to focus, then you have to be reminded the object. You know, you have to have a certain. You already found the object to be focused. Then you have to be keep reminded. So in the initial stage, then kind of discipline certain time frames. Like usually most of the practices, you know, emphasize about doing three times a day, three times a night, like that kind of thing. So the idea was chosen from there. So, but that doesn't mean, you know, maybe we may require to remind it maybe more or less. So depend on individual. So recollection of objects. So how that happens, when you start to focus, then the objects start to fade from your mind. Then you have to bring back. You have to bring back the image of the object and pass to your the concentrated mind, the mind that we're going to concentrate. You know, if it's losing the clarity, you know. So here, not only focus is enough. You need to have the clarity of the object. So focus and clarity. The focus is the size, whatever the color or whatever. Everything has to be precise, you know. Precise. And clarity is seeing of those preciseness, you know. So you need these two mind. So whenever clarity is losing, you need to bring back the clarity on the same level as the initial stage. Whenever the focus is losing, you need to bring back the focus, you know. So what is the mind? Which mind does this job? Mindfulness, introspection. Again, you assign one portion of mind to do this job. But then again, your mind is not focusing. That you're seeing these two minds are waiting to catch that. It's kind of like a natural process. Without awareness, mindfulness, introspection is always there to assist you, you know. So like that. Then laxity and excitement. So here the antidote is vigilant. So this is similar to, so again it's the introspection and mindfulness. So the direct antidote to laxity and excitement is mindfulness and introspection. Mindfulness introspection, in fact, is in all the antidotes, you know, accompanied with mindfulness and introspection. But here, in particularly, then the mindfulness and introspection has to be fully in job. So, what is the mindfulness and introspection does? When your mind become down, and losing the focus, not only that, it bringing kind of like a depressed situation, like bringing no enthusiasm, you know, etc. is coming. Then the introspection and mindfulness had to recognize that. Then has to assign the another portion of mind in your mind to bring about uplift, get uplifted from that state. So then in the teachings, you know, emphasize if laxity is appearing into your meditation, then you pause your meditation. You get into pause meditation, then meditate on precious human rebirth. Meditate on the qualities of the Buddha. Meditate on qualities of the the shamatha, you know, so qualities of guru, like that. Then just naturally, like you get uplifted. So then again, go back to the meditation. Then the another obstacle, the excitement. Whenever the excitement is the disturbance to focus on the clarity, clarity and the focus on the object of meditation, then. The teachings emphasize to meditate on death and impermanent, meditate on the suffering of samsara, meditate on the suffering of three lower realm beings, meditate on your own samsaric experiences, others' samsaric experiences. So then by doing so, then, you know, your mind, the excitement start to drop, you know, and bring it into a neutral level, you see. So like that. Then fourth is a non-application. The antidote is application, meaning we need to bring our mind back to the object of meditation if we wish to, you know, attain shamatha. So similar like recollection, you know. So here the application, application, the earlier one, the forgetting the object is very much based on the objective side, object side. The object was supposed to be meditated. Here, non-application here referring to mainly to the subject side. You know, mainly talking about the subject. So otherwise, these two is the same thing. You know, so recollecting is you try to adjust your mind to, you know, the clarity, everything is there, but then again there's the obstacle of, let's say, due to excitement, due to laxity, then somehow affect your mind to intrude the laziness or whatever, you know, somehow that you cannot proceed the practice, then your mind need to, you know, kind of discipline to bring back to just to the focus of the object. Then over-application. So yeah, over-application is referring to, in relation to both subject and object. So both has to be kind of just perfect, you know, not too much, not too less. You know, when the focus and clarity is there, and don't try to be smart. You know, don't try to kind of say, don't try to push hard. Don't try to kind of add, you know, other thoughts, because as mentioned before, shamatha training, single point training, whatever amount of clarity, whatever amount of focus, whatever object you choose before, that has to be carry on all the way to the result. You see, so they say, oh, yesterday my meditation concentration was very good. You know, today I want to make it more clearer. I want to expand. You know, maybe just eyes is just too small. You know, maybe why not whole Buddha's face? You know, will be more meritorious. You know, maybe not only that. Maybe Buddha's start to speak. Buddha start to blink eye. You know, talk to you in meditation would be wonderful. You know, more merit. I say no, it's not that way. You know, so if you want to choose a speaking Buddha, then from very beginning you have to choose that, and you have to carry on like that. You know, and so this is the over application, and many meditators get into this mistake. You know, they thought that, oh, I'm progressing. Then they start to, you know, add up things. Then find out that actually you are, in fact, that itself is that you are still unable to focus. Okay? So like that. So you need to know. So this is called the antidote is called the equanimity. You know? Yep. Hmm. Okay. So verse 41. When the practitioner has gained karma binding, so through all these practices, then eventually you will gain karma binding. So when the practitioner has gained karma binding, then higher perception will also be gained. So here the higher perception, usually higher perception refer to the wisdom realizing emptiness, but here is very much talking about the special insight, you know, special insight, because emptiness can be realized without using the karma binding mind, you know, also can be realized emptiness, but then using karma binding mind, it will be more effective to the purification of the negations. The reason is, you know, on the basis of karma binding, you realize emptiness, it becomes special insight. Special insight meaning is already in engaging in the action of negation, not just actualizing the antidote, but not using it. So when you have a shamatha mind, you have a dedicated, serviceable mind to work for it. What is the job of actualizing shamatha, actualizing emptiness is to to eradicate the defilement, you see. So just realizing emptiness doesn't mean that you are engaging in the process of negating the negation, because you need to engage into the negation, which is like, you know, bringing in the process, in the path, like you know, meditative equipoise, directly opening to the negation called parche melam. Then that parche melam is also called as meditative equipoise without obstacle, something like that. I don't know exact word in English say like that or not, but meaning is like that. Parche melam. Then after that, then by consistently, you know, remaining in that meditative equipoise that directly open on to the negation, then you progress to a namdolam. Namdolam means the cessation from that, cessation from negating that that particular negation. You attain the cessation, meditative equipoise in the meditative state, in the cessation, you know, by totally negating it. The initial, the meditative state, parchemalam, which is free of obstacle. The reason why I say parchemalam, no obstacle, the meditative state of no obstacle, no obstacle or no negation, meaning that the moment meditative equipoise in emptiness arises in your mental continuum, the negation disappears. But that disappearance of negation is not qualified to be eradicated. It just disappeared because of the mental state is completely filled with the antidote, the emptiness mind. That's why it's not there, but doesn't mean purify yet. So the example is like in the middle of the night, you know, switching on the light. So if you switch on the light in the middle of the night, the darkness in the room is disappear. Is the darkness purified? No. Why? If you off the light, darkness will come back. You see? So what the job the Parchemalam does, this first step of meditative state of no obstacle does, single-pointedly carry on until there is no more obstacle at all from the existent in that continuum, totally, you know. So an example is you own the light until next morning sunrise. Then after that, if you switch off, there's no darkness return. It's only light, isn't it? So the Parchemalam's job is to stay in a meditative equipoise without interruption all the way through until total eradication. When the total eradication actualizes in that continuation of meditative equipoise, the name is given as a namdolam, is a state of cessation from that negative emotion. It's like daylight is already actualized. So within that 24 hours, the yesterday's night will never return. No more return. You see? So after you actualize the cessation, then you take a break as a post meditation. Then continue like that. Then again get into meditative equipoise. Again, it's the job of these two things, Parchemalam and Namdolam. Then that's how you progress in the paths and 10 grounds. And this is the progress that which can be done through the special insight, the ability of special insight. So otherwise, you realize emptiness, then it's like, that's it. You know, yes, realizing emptiness, not necessarily you are in meditative equipoise of emptiness. After realize emptiness directly, is not necessarily all the time in a meditative equipoise. You know, you have realization, but then rest of your mind is completely filled with other samsaric things. It's still possible. Still can commit karma. You know, that's why even someone who, that's why I said before, There are practitioners there who realize emptiness before even entering into the path of accumulation. And they are still subjected to kamita karma. See? So therefore, special insight is, it is needed. And best way to do that is to actualize the shamatha, then realize the emptiness, then that's the best way. So, so you see, shamatha make it serviceable of that meditation. What is the service? The service, the job. The job is to negate the negation. So that's why I call it serviceable mind. wisdom that actualized through on the basis of serviceable mind, call it special insight. So higher perception will also be gained. So after actualizing shamatha, but without practice of the perfection of wisdom, the obstruction will not come to the end. Exactly what I'm talking about means without the wisdom realizing emptiness not utilized as a special insight, which is a meaning in action to eradicate the defilement, then even you realize emptiness, not much use. So verse 42, thus to eliminate all obstruction to liberate an omniscient, the practitioner should continuously cultivate the perfection of wisdom with skillful means. Skillful means here refer to bodhicitta, conventional bodhicitta. When you practice ultimate bodhicitta, you must also practice conventional bodhicitta. If your objective is enlightenment, but if your objective, ultimate goal is just liberation, Hinayana's liberation, then yes, you know, bodhicitta is not necessary. But then it's still the skillful means is still necessary in order to become emptiness wisdom beneficial for your liberation. So you see, so skillful means has many. Loving kindness is skillful means. Compassion is skillful means. Skillful means. Bodhicitta is skillful means. So for someone who is actualizing just nirvana of hearer and solitary realizer, then a skillful means can be just a moral conduct, moral ethic of observation of 10 virtuous action. Then love and compassion, at least compassion to yourself, because you really do not want to suffer in samsara, that's why you look for liberation, you know. So then with the wisdom of selflessness, then you can able to achieve the liberation. So otherwise, even you gain selflessness, wisdom of selflessness, but without those skillful means, no way you can proceed the path. But as far as kind of Mayani practitioner, then without bodhicitta, skillful means directly referring to bodhicitta. Then verse 43, wisdom without skillful means and skillful means, wisdom without skillful means and skillful means, two, without wisdom, refer to a bondage, therefore not to give up either. So some say, oh, you know, just have bodhicitta, then, you know, emptiness maybe not require. This is how the self-liberator does mistake. You know, love for myself, compassion to myself is good enough for me to progress the path to liberation. And most important thing is wisdom realizing emptiness. And bodhicitta is, okay, forget about it. You know, it's too much for me, you know. I cannot help myself, you know, why I think of helping others, you know. So then this is like that. Then some of Bodhisattvas, oh, emptiness, wisdom, it's okay, you know, put aside, you know, just compassion, bodhicitta, you know. As long as I have altruism, then rest is okay, take it easy, I will do later. Also it's a mistake. You cannot progress that further in this kind of attitude. So you see, so both has to, someone who is striving for full enlightenment, both has to go together. Both has to actualize together, you know, so that your journey will become most effective in eradication of bondage of both samsara and nirvana. You see, the reason is wisdom realizing emptiness will eliminate the samsara. The wisdom that which was a wisdom that will actualize the method, bodhicitta will eradicate the nirvana, eradicate the sub-nirvana. Okay, eradicate the sub-nirvana. So therefore, you see, therefore there's a debate like that. Is Hinayana's nirvana is negation or not? If you ask direct question, is Hinayana's liberation is negation or not? Then you say, how can be negation? It's a liberation. Liberation cannot be negated, isn't it? Then you will say, if that's the case, then what's the need of bodhicitta? You say, bodhicitta is needed in order to not to fall into the trap of self-liberation. So therefore, bodhicitta is antidote to eliminate the self-liberation, negate the self-liberation. So therefore, the answer is, liberation, self-liberation, negation or not? No. But liberation, self-liberation is negation to the Mayana, but not negation. So negation to the Mayana, but not negation. Okay? So enjoy the lunch. make sure don't negate the lunch. Okay. Chancho sem jo rinpoche ma jepa nam ki yuji jewa nyemba me pa yang kone kundu pewa shi tonyi tawa rinpoche ma jepa nam ki yuji jewa nyemba me pa yang kone kundu pewa rai shio kangri rawe kowe shingam de pendan de wa ma li chungwe chenre siwa tenzin jazo yi shabe si de ba du ten yuji tuzo chanchi jangwe jawe de zingyo pewe kunso de boche chozo kowe leme turu taso de je kundu shabden shio